Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Holiness is happiness. The prophet Jeremiah learned this lesson through hard experience, also through deeply studying the life of King David. We have a book available to you for free at thetrumpet.com titled The Psalms of David and the Psalter of Terah by Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury. And on page 35, Mr. Fleury starts going through a section of Psalm chapter 119 in which the prophet Jeremiah learns this lesson that holiness is happiness. Notice Psalm 119 in verse 1. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the eternal." As Mr. Fleury explains here in the Psalms of David and the Psalter of Terah, the first word, blessed, in this verse is better translated happy. Mr. Fleury says, this is the way to true happiness. Right? It's about walking in God's law. This is not a natural or normal choice for human beings to make. In fact, we often are quite desperate to go the exact opposite way for some reason. Of course, that's because of Satan's broadcast. That's because of our carnal, selfish, hostile human nature, as Romans 8 verse 7 shows. We humans are naturally hostile to God's law. And we need to fight against that downward pull, that evil tendency. Mr. Fleury says, what is wrong with a legal system of love, of liberty, freedom, and peace? The whole Bible is based on the Ten Commandments. This is a legal system of love. He quotes 1 John 5, verse 3, which says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Do we believe that? Do we associate law with love? God is love. His law is just a description of who he is. And so therefore, the law is also love. God's law, at least. Man's law is quite different. It really is, in a lot of ways, a burden and doesn't always make good sense. But God's law is love. We can't be hostile toward God's law. Malachi 4 verse 4 says, remember you the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Mr. Fleury explains here in the Psalms of David and the Psalter of Terah, the way that God made Israel remember the law. Do you remember that story? How God appeared to the ancient Israelites and stunningly gave them his law? You can find that story in Exodus 19 and 20. God provided quite a spectacle when he presented the law to Israel. Crashes of thunder, blinding light, an earthquake that shook the mountain, smoke billowing. The fiery God of law and love on display. So obviously, God was trying to make his law memorable. And in Malachi 4, verse 4, we are told to remember the law. Mr. Fleury quotes a commentator, a Bible commentator named Spurgeon, who says that Psalm 119 represents the attitude that righteous people have toward God's law. Spurgeon says, "The law of the Lord is not irksome to them. Its commandments are not grievous, and its restrictions are not slavish in their esteem. It does not appear to them to be an impossible law, theoretically admirable, but practically absurd. But they walk by it and in it. They do not consult it now and then as a sort of rectifier of their wanderings, but they use it as a chart for their daily sailing, a map of the road for their life journey." So people who love God's law are constantly consulting the law. They're using it as a chart and a map, showing themselves where to go. Basically, God is showing them where to go. They can study the law, they can know what the law says, and then they can examine their lives to see if they're walking by that law in every detail. And that's what a righteous person will do. That's what a holy person will do. And remember, holiness is happiness. Psalm 119 and verse 1. Spurgeon continues, "Young men should begin their lives, so should new converts commence their profession, so should all Christians begin every day." So basically, this is a way that we should all live all the time. Whether we're young or old, whether we've received God's Holy Spirit in us or not yet, every Christian should remember that holiness is happiness. Spurgeon says, "It is our wisdom first to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Right? First to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Mr. Fleury says on page 37, "God's way truly is the blessed and happy way. Holiness is happiness." Continuing here in Psalm chapter 119, verses 2 and 3 say, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." You see there, we have to seek God and his law of love with our whole heart. We have to wholeheartedly study the Bible. It's so easy to think that if we complete our prayer in a given day, that we're done spiritually. But that's not true. And what I've learned and what many people have learned through experience is that when we study the Bible, that's how our thinking actually begins to change. That's how God's thoughts can start to replace our thoughts. And we desperately need that. Romans 8 talks about two very different ways of life. Notice here Romans 8 and verse 4, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And then continuing, verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So there's the way of the flesh, there's the way of the Spirit. We could walk in the flesh or we could walk in the Spirit. Two very, very different ways of life. Two very different ways of thinking. Naturally, because of Satan's influence on our human spirit, we all just automatically think about the physical, the material, how to feed and clothe ourselves, how to fulfill all of our regular needs and desires throughout the day. And it's a selfish inward approach and mindset. But we don't have to live like that. If we study the Bible, if we just open the Bible and read what it says and learn more about God, then we'll start to think about the spiritual. Then we'll start to walk in the spirit instead of in the flesh. We'll start to mind the things of the spirit instead of the things of the flesh. And we'll really start to become happy. Holiness is happiness. Mr. Fleury says, we have to fight for this wonderful truth God has given us, or Satan will take it all away. But if you do these things, as Psalm 119 verse 3 shows, that will keep you from sinning. You see, we have to replace our carnal way of thinking with God's way of thinking. We have to fill the mind with God's law. And then that's what our mind will be focused on. And that's what we'll be motivated to obey and fulfill in our lives. Psalm 119 and verse 4 says, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Mr. Fleury says on page 37 of the Psalms of David and the Psalter of Tara, we must not obey God carelessly, but diligently, with all attention and effort. That is how Jesus obeyed, voluntarily submitting himself with perfect attention throughout his life. Jesus Christ, our ultimate example, always put God first, always prayed hard and studied and learned and applied the Bible in every situation in his life, made sure that every thought, every word, every deed, every desire in his life lined up with the Bible. And how would he know that unless he really knew the Bible well? It's easy to assume that we know what God expects, but we really don't, and we quickly forget unless we're studying. We have so much material available to you for free at thetrumpet.com. It's just a wealth of God's truth available to us for free. So much written by the late Herbert W. Armstrong, God's end time apostle. And then more material written by Mr. Gerald Fleury, God's end time apostle as well, after Mr. Armstrong. And this is how God reveals truth, through one man. And then we have other materials as well, written by other supporting authors. And it's all expounding on God's law, expounding on God's truth in the Bible. How special that is. In the March-April 2026 Royal Vision, Mr. Stephen Fleury wrote an article titled The Pursuit of Happiness. And in this article, Mr. Stephen Fleury is talking about how the founding fathers highly prioritized happiness. I mean, it's obviously in the Declaration of Independence written by Thomas Jefferson, who said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness is a human right given to us by God. But what does that mean? Mr. Stephen Fleury quotes the law professor Jeffrey Rosen, who said, today we think of happiness as the pursuit of pleasure, but classical and Enlightenment thinkers defined happiness as the pursuit of virtue, as being good rather than feeling good. For this reason, the founders believed that the quest for happiness is a daily practice requiring mental and spiritual self-discipline, as well as mindfulness and rigorous time management. At its core, the founders viewed the pursuit of happiness as a lifelong quest for character development. A lifelong quest for character development. That is a happy life. That is an abundant, enriching, fulfilling life, like John 10 verse 10 talks about. Mr. Armstrong wrote a classic article about the abundant life. Probably one of the top few articles he ever wrote. And to this day, people in the Philadelphia Church of God are always quoting that Abundant Life article. I'll make sure to put that in the show notes for this podcast. But what an awesome way of life, where we live by the law, where we're constantly motivated to better ourselves. And it is a pursuit of virtue, which means a pursuit of happiness. Because holiness is happiness. Matthew 5 verse 48 tells us, "Become you therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect." Mr. Stephen Fleury says here, "You are on a lifelong quest for perfection. Your mission is to achieve perfect godly character. This is why you were created, to become a perfect God being." He says the Christian life is a diligent quest for happiness. It is a way of life that produces happiness. And then in this article, again, The Pursuit of Happiness from the March-April 2026 Royal Vision, Mr. Stephen Fleury quotes a bunch of the founding fathers talking about the importance of private morality. You know, what we do in the privacy of our own homes actually does matter for the health of the entire nation. George Washington believed that. Benjamin Franklin had a list of 13 virtues that he would focus on, mainly just one at a time. We kind of have to juggle them all. We have to focus on becoming perfect in every way and maybe have an intensified focus on one at a time. John Adams said that statesmen may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. In this article, Mr. Stephen Fleury quotes Mr. Armstrong in the October 1954 Good News, who said, "The knowledge of how to live should be the first interest of every person." How to live? What is our purpose? What are we supposed to do in life? What are we supposed to achieve? What does God expect from us? He's the one who created us. We are God's creation. So are we operating the way that God created us to? Mr. Stephen Fleury says here, "You will never be happy if you are not living God's way. Many people want the benefits of God's way of life, but they don't want to obey the laws that produce those benefits." We can all examine ourselves in this area. If we feel like we're constantly down and discouraged and sad, if we always feel lonely, if we're just negative and we're focused on obstacles in our lives instead of on our quest for perfection, well, there has to be a cause for that kind of unhappiness. Law breaking makes human beings miserable. And holiness is happiness. keeping the law, doing what God says, is the key to happiness in life. Mr. Gerald Flurry writes in The Epistles of Peter, A Living Hope, another booklet available to you for free at thetrumpet.com. If our mind is just on the things of this world, we will become mired in depression, stress, and discouragement. So if we get a material focus, if we walk after the flesh instead of after the spirit, if we're too concerned with physical things and physical pursuits, and we're not putting the kingdom of God first, as Matthew 6 verse 33 commands, then we're just going to get stressed and worn out and burned out and depressed. One of our PCG ministers, Mr. Dwight Falk, gave a fantastic sermonette here in Edmond, Oklahoma last year. He's now up serving in the Northeast. But in that sermonette, he talked about the prophet Daniel, who had a very healthy physical and spiritual diet. Daniel was one of the Jews who was taken captive in Babylon, and he decided to go by his own diet instead of the daily feasting of the Babylonians. And this is what it says here in Daniel 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And then you notice here in verse 12, Daniel says, "Prove your servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before you, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as you see, deal with your servants." So he consented to them in this manner and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. So basically, Daniel was eating lean and mean. He was choosing to follow God's health laws instead of feasting on probably all manner of unclean meats and imbibing in too much alcohol like the Babylonians around him. And the fruits were immediately evident. In just 10 days, Daniel and his Jewish friends looked visibly healthier than everybody else. And so Daniel and his friends were allowed to continue in that diet, even in the midst of Babylon. And as Mr. Falk mentioned in his sermonette last year, this is really a wonderful example for us to strive to follow. Physically and spiritually. Obviously, there's things that we could cut out of our lives for 10 days just to see if we were too attached to whatever that thing was. I just went all of July without even a drop of alcohol. And it's not like I had a problem in drinking too much, but I certainly felt a lot better after just 1 month of even not drinking occasionally. And I was able to make sure, okay, so I'm not basing too much of my happiness on this thing. Right now I'm in the midst of 10 days without any caffeine. I don't even drink coffee every day, but in traveling, it's easy to just pick up a coffee here and there, or maybe even an energy drink or some kind of sugary drink. And so I'm going 10 days without that, just to make sure that I'm not too attached to caffeine. You know, you could think of other aspects of physical diet, like sugar or junk food. Can we go just 10 days free of that thing and make sure that we're not basing our happiness on that material thing? And then spiritually, could we go 10 days without TV without social media, without any of these other pleasures and distractions that tear us away from prayer and study potentially? Could we cleanse ourselves for just 10 days and make sure that our lives are not dependent on these physical things? So I think that was a really helpful and motivating principle, and that's a way that we could maybe get started. Pick something in our lives that maybe we like a lot, and then just go without it for 10 days. And obviously, I'm talking about things that aren't sinful to begin with. There are certain things that are always wrong that we should never indulge in, but TV of itself is not wrong, for example. But we could still go without it for 10 days, or like I did with alcohol, a whole month, and see what happens. See the fruits that result. And just make sure that we're not too attached to any of these things in our lives. Remember, holiness is happiness. We can make a habit of saying no to ourselves in daily life when it comes to just extra indulgence and following in the way of the flesh. Just saying no, no, no. I'm going to do this productive thing instead. I'm going to set my mind on the spiritual instead. Holiness is happiness. If we keep the law, which comes from really studying the Bible, we'll notice a difference. And God will help us to apply what the Bible says. Holiness is happiness. So just give it a try. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.